The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives, you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Katie Mox here. Hopefully, Will Brinson will be joining us at some point soon. We got Emery Hunt and Prop Stars joining with your Pick Squad, actually. Your Pick Squad for Mondays. We did not have a show last Monday because there were still games going on. But you can go ahead and catch the last episode. The Super Friends broke down the divisional round on Sunday. Breach, Wilson and Brinson broke down if the Bills have reached their ceiling and the sweet, sweet victory for the Lions. Fellas, anything surprise you about divisional weekend? I mean, for me, the 49ers play was quite surprising. But Emery, what did you think?
No, it was pretty much exciting games. I know we got a lot of the rematches, so that's always interesting to see what adjustments are made on both sides. So just seeing the Lions and Bucks again, and the Ravens and Texans again, yeah. Seeing those two matchups and seeing how teams adjusted, it's pretty much remarkable what the Ravens did both in the opener and on the last game of the season for the Titans or for the Texans. And what we saw from the Lions and Bucks was kind of like what we saw earlier in the season.
Yeah, that's true. Prop Stars, any thoughts on divisional weekend for you? Any player props that hit or that you were surprised to see do well or not do so well?
Yeah, first and foremost, I thought it was just a great weekend of football. As far as props are concerned, had a good weekend, went 4-1 on player props. The only one I missed was a Brandon Ayuk prop. But yeah, I would agree with Emery. This Ravens team, just so impressive. The defense, just the way they really handled C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, just really impressed by this pass defense. And the defense as a whole played just exceptionally well. Then just Lamar looking every bit of that MVP that he's going to win this season as well. I was somewhat surprised by San Francisco. I did expect your 49ers to have a more well-rounded effort, but this is the NFL. These margins are razor thin. And you can't dominate your opponents every week, especially in the postseason when teams are riding high. A couple of mistakes here, and you can find yourself trailing, obviously, in a football game. But I thought the 49ers did show good composure, obviously won the football game there. And then I thought the Chiefs and Bills was an all-time classic. I thought that was a phenomenal football game. It's a great weekend of football.
Emery, real quick, what do you think of the teams that were bounced out and how they'll fare next season? You got the Packers, you got the Texans, and then, of course, the Bills. Any thoughts on those guys?
Honestly, I think all are going to be good next year. You think about what a lot of teams have on IR, what they have on their practice squad. You expect those guys to compete for roster spots. But for the Texans and Packers, you talk about youth. They have a ton of youth on those teams, so they're going to be better. You hope they're going to be better, but I feel like they're going to be better moving forward because they got the quarterback in place. They both can run the ball. You can expect the Texans to add some more pieces on offense. Defensively, they're going to be solid. Green Bay's defense should be better next season. We'll see how that situation plays out. In Buffalo, I think they found their way to win this season. They're like, hey, man, we can run the ball. We could take our timely shots deep down the field. I expect them to add more at receiver, and they just got to get healthy on defense, and they'll be right back in the mix once again.
And as far as specifically Houston goes and Green Bay, not only do they have two of the youngest quarterbacks in the league, obviously with very bright futures and tons of upside and potential there, but two of the youngest rosters in the league, Green Bay having the youngest roster in the league. I was so impressed with Green Bay's offensive line in both playoff games. Not only did they mitigate Dallas's pass rush, but they also did really well against San Francisco, really dominating the line of scrimmage at times. We saw how well Aaron Jones played. We saw Jordan Love operating from a clean pocket for the majority of the game. So facing those two pass rushes, which graded as the top two pass rushes for the majority of the season, and playing that well, giving Jordan Love that much time in the pocket, I was really impressed with just Green Bay's team effort. And yeah, the offensive line was super impressive throughout the postseason. So both teams with just really bright futures, I would agree.
I agree with the two of you as well. Worth noting, this episode of the Pick Six podcast is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right, fellas, let's get into the early lines and leans for conference championship weekend. A little quick betting recap. Home teams in the divisional round went 2-2. Favorites also 2-2 against the spread. Home favorites 2-2 against the spread. We see a little bit of a trend here broken down the middle. And overs went 3-1. Let's start here with the AFC. The Chiefs made it again, even after the season that they had, all of the drops, all of the this and that. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid just seem to keep getting it together, and certainly they have the Bills number. So we've got the Chiefs at the Ravens. The Ravens are laying 3.5, this total 44.5. I got to be honest with you, this line to me seems like it's based on narrative. The Ravens should be higher favorites than this. They are a better team pound for pound than this Chiefs team is, but I think the narrative of the Chiefs going to the Super Bowls as often as they have, winning as they have, this Patrick Mahomes or whatever, that's why this is 3.5. And Emery, I see you nodding along with me. This, the Ravens to me are almost a touchdown favorite in this game.
Right. And that's why I'm laughing, because it is completely based off narrative. Because if you watch the Bills game, and I shared this in a group chat with a couple of my homies, I was like, listen, the Chiefs front seven is built like a 2003 defense. They're not the most athletic. They don't have any twitch up front. The linebackers can't really get to the perimeter. And if you're able to get to the perimeter, which the Bills were able to do a lot, they were able to run the ball successfully, they're in trouble, you know? And so they got to get faster on defense. They're fine on the back end, but my goodness, the Ravens are going to spread these dudes out and attack these guys and force them to play in space. This is a bad matchup, honestly, for Kansas City's defense, which has been solid all season. And on the offensive side of football, I've said this for about 2 months now, assume if you're playing the Ravens, just automatically assume you won't be able to run the ball. Now what? Yeah. That's going to be the biggest question that Kansas City is going to have to answer. I agree with you. This should be a touchdown. More so than 3.5 points. I get it. Narrative, can't count out Kansas City. Can't count out, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs and Romo's on the call. I get it. But this game should be a touchdown for Baltimore.
Well, and it's going to be at home, and you can see on the graphic right here, the Ravens will host the AFC Championship game for the first time in team history. Even when they won the Super Bowl back in 2012, they did not host an AFC Championship game. So huge from them. Patrick Mahomes, 3-1 all-time versus Lamar Jackson. I did see people in the chat talking about how historically the Chiefs play better than the Ravens do. It is the sixth straight conference championship game, the second longest streak of all time for the Chiefs. Prop stars, is there anything in particular that you are do you look for Lamar to go off in this game? Do you think that the Chiefs defense can stop? I mean, I don't know. No one's been able to really stop him when he has his mind to something.
Yeah, it's a fascinating matchup. I would agree that the Baltimore should be favored here. I'm not sure if they deserve to be a touchdown favorite, but I do think you both make some solid points here. I will say I do feel that Kansas City can find some success on the ground against Baltimore's rush defense. Their pass defense is absolutely elite. First in EPA allowed per dropback, second in PFF's coverage grade. Baltimore is a bit vulnerable on the ground, though, and I do feel that Isaiah Pacheco and this Kansas City Chiefs ground attack can find some success here. I do think that We will see a balanced attack from Kansas City. I don't think they're going to have a lot of success attacking the secondary, which has been absolutely elite. I did put out a prop already on Monday that's had some tremendous closing line value. I'm not used to saying that because it's still Monday, but we put out Rashee Rice under 6.5 receptions, a guy I've obviously backed the entire season, talk about him ad nauseum here, but 7 receptions against this Baltimore pass defense is just a huge number. They've allowed 6 receivers this season to eclipse 7 receptions. 6 receivers. The last one in week 13, Cooper Kupp. So this Baltimore pass defense is every bit as good as advertised. I think it's a solid fade with or without Marlon Humphrey. But yeah, they are exceptional against first reads, which we've seen really Rashee Rice ascend as that wide receiver one for this offense. They've struggled a bit covering tight ends. We saw what they did against Nico Collins, who I faded successfully this past week, Katie. But yeah, I think this is a good spot. And again, the market agrees because Rashee Rice was opened at 6.5 receptions. That has ticked all the way down to 5.5 receptions. Not used to seeing that much closing line value in one day, but here we are. So love to see that. And then I do think Isaiah Pacheco is set up to have some success in this matchup. I do feel, again, Kansas City is going to be able to run the ball effectively. They've really become a lot more balanced over the second half of the season. We've seen Andy Reid, who's someone who's been just so pass happy throughout his career, really kind of lean on the ground game and specifically Pacheco more and more. So I do feel that will be a big point for Kansas City attacking this Baltimore defense will be on the ground while the game is a neutral or positive game script.
Now, Emery, you've talked a lot about how you don't believe in home field advantage too much, but certainly when you get to a conference championship game, and Patrick Mahomes has never played in a conference championship game outside of Arrowhead. Now, that same narrative went into divisional weekend. He went into Orchard Park and beat the Bills. Do you believe, though, that the Ravens do have an advantage being at home?
I don't. And what was fascinating about that graphic that we showed, you know, the first time they're playing an AFC championship game in team history, that includes the 2000 Ravens. Like, how insane is that? Yeah. That's a historically great defense, and they weren't at home when they were in the AFC championship game. That's just remarkable to me. But no, there's no home field advantage. I mean, what it does, it's a part of the story. I think home field has a slight advantage more so for injured guys, more so than healthy guys. In college, also, you know, about you could only travel 63 in college on the road. So you don't have a lot of the depth that you would have at home. But in the pros, man, this is game on. Like, you just better go out there and play ball. The other thing I'll add to this matchup, the Chiefs got banged up pretty badly defensively against Buffalo. Yeah. And you wonder how healthy will a Willie Gay be? Will they activate some more guys on the defensive line? Because what we saw Baltimore do is just lean on the Texans defense front and run the football. Now you're worrying about a Gus Edwards. Justice Hill looked the best he's looked in his entire career running the ball. And oh, by the way, Dalvin Cook got going toward the back end when he was able to close out the game. So the Chiefs will have to be healthy up front within their front 7. And on offense, can they operate in a situation where Pacheco, whose run style to me just yields itself to him getting stopped a lot, can they operate without that ability to run the ball consistently against Baltimore and a team that can get to the quarterback more so than Buffalo? So this is a very tough matchup for Kansas City.
I would agree. All right, we are going to take a quick break here. And we come back, we're going to talk NFC Championship game, 49ers and Lions. You're watching Pick 6. We'll be right back.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ready, set, Vegas. For those listening to the audio version, you didn't see that, but it was a pretty cool CBS promo for the Super Bowl that will be on CBS this year and streaming on Paramount Plus. All right, let's talk NFC, the 49ers versus the Lions. The Lions had not been to the playoffs since 1991. They have now won two playoff games. Now they have to go to Levi's Stadium to face the 49ers. Niners laying 6.5. You could find it at 7 in some places. This total, 50.5. It's the three-seeded Lions with, of course, the number one seed, 49ers. Niners have been to the NFC Championship game for the last 2 years. This is their third consecutive year. Hopefully, the third time is the charm if you are part of the Niner gang here. Look, I obviously am biased when it comes to the 49ers, but I don't think there's a football fan alive that doesn't love Dan Campbell and the Lions story and doesn't necessarily root for them. Now, I don't think that the Lions are going to win this game. I'm not sure that the 49ers would beat them by a touchdown. I do think the line moves in that direction. We'll get into that a little bit later in our anticipation plays. But this Detroit team at home in the dome, specifically Jared Goff versus on the road, are two different teams. Now, what we saw from the 49ers was pretty concerning last week. I think that heavy rain had a lot to do with it. It seemed like Brock Purdy didn't have a good handle on the ball. He was wearing a glove. He wasn't having a glove. He was wiping his leg, in the middle of his progressions. But as you can see here on the screen, 49ers 19th conference championship game, the most of all time for the Lions, is just their second game. They lost 41-10 at Washington in 1991. They're seeking their first road playoff win since 1957, interestingly enough, at the 49ers. I'll start with you, Emery. No Deebo Samuel. Now, the good news is, well, we don't know for sure. The good news is there's no fracture, so he's kind of 50-50 right now. There's the narrative out there right now that the 49ers cannot win without Deebo Samuel. Is that something that you subscribe into? Do you think that the Lions are a big threat here to get to the Super Bowl?
There's a lot of intriguing parts to this ball game, and there's a lot of questions, and there's some answers that people have on you know, to those questions. For instance, let's say San Francisco has shown that they are struggling right now to stop the run. The Lions can run the ball. Big question, though, Jonah Jackson is probably not going to play their guard. So you're looking at the reserve guard coming in, and can he have the same success? Because, again, you're just throwing someone in to a unit that needs continuity to succeed, right? You love to have the same five guys out there all the time because you understand what the left hand is knowing what the right hand is doing. So throwing a new guy in the mix against this defense is going to be a problem. So that's an answer for San Francisco. If Deebo doesn't play and you figure, okay, how can they generate offense for themselves? Well, they still can run the ball. And we look at the Lions still struggle in stopping the run. And mm-hmm. That's going to be a biggest concern for them because Rashad White was having success. Well, we know, you know, Christian McCaffrey is going to have success.
Yeah.
So that's a potential question that's answered for San Francisco. But the Lions' question on defense is, can they get to Brock Purdy? And can they cover on the back end? Can they stop giving up the big play deeper downfield? We saw the Rams have success against them. Now, the good part for the Lions is that, hey, playing the Rams kind of gave you a little bit of an appetizer to what it's like playing San Francisco. So this is going to be a fascinating game. But the Lions do have some concerns going into this matchup, as do San Francisco. But there you have more answers, in my opinion, on the 49ers side.
Yeah, just to counter a few points, Emery, I would actually argue this Lions match up really well against San Francisco. I'm not sure if they're going to win outright, but I think this game is going to be competitive. I like their side quite a bit. The Lions allowed the surrender the fewest yards to opposing running backs in the NFL this season, so they are very adept at stopping the run. Obviously, Christian McCaffrey and San Francisco's run game, they can be successful versus nearly any front, but I think they're going to have a good chance to neutralize a bit of what San Francisco is able to do on the ground, especially if there's no Debo Samuel. Right now, I also frankly trust Jared Goff more than I do Brock Purdy, especially if we've seen him in these high leverage situations. It's not the same quarterback that we've seen during the regular season. He can obviously, you know, disprove that and change my mind here. But just frankly, what we've seen, albeit a small sample, in the playoffs in these high leverage spots, Purdy has looked shaky, not the same quarterback that he's been in the regular season there.
Well,
so
to be fair, he had two great playoff games last year and only one bad playoff game this year.
That being said, I also think San Francisco is vulnerable up the middle. We saw Aaron Jones have a ton of success there. Yeah. We know Detroit's going to run the football. They have an excellent 1-2 punch. Again, I do think, you know, the offensive lineman being out could be an issue. But, yeah, I just think this Detroit team matches up well with San Francisco. And, again, it's going to be likely minimal weather. Again, playing outside of the dome, Jared Goff has been a different quarterback. But he's going to be playing likely in optimal conditions in, 55-degree weather. So I don't think that's going to be nearly as big of an issue as some people are suggesting. So I think Detroit is set up nicely in this spot. I like them quite a bit, not just because San Francisco was shaky yesterday against Green Bay. Yeah. I just think Detroit has the personnel to give them some problems.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Jared Goff, also from the Bay Area. He grew up in Novato, so he'll have a ton of friends and family there. But historically, he does not play well against the 49ers. He's 3-6 in his career versus San Francisco, and including losing 5 straight games. So Shanahan does know him pretty well, how to kind of scheme up against him. But yeah, I mean, we'll just have to your point, though, we have to see which Brock Purdy shows up. I mean, if the one that last weekend shows up now, again, I do think that the rain maybe had a little bit to do with that. Hopefully there's clear weather. I think it's there's no rain that we can tell so far. But 64 degrees, partly sunny in San Francisco. Okay, great. That looks great for both of us. So we'll just have to see how this goes. Now, you mentioned that Ayuk was the only thing that you didn't hit on last week. Is when you think about Detroit and the kind of pass funnel that they've been all season long, and we talk about breakout plays, that's Brandon Ayuk. Would you dabble in his props this weekend?
I would. We're still waiting to see what his lines are, unfortunately, not knowing Debo Samuel's status. We only really have access to Detroit pass catchers. Yeah, so we're still waiting on San Francisco props, skill position props to come out, depending on what it's going to be. If it's similar to the number we saw yesterday, versus Green Bay, which was in the mid to high 60s, I think that's a great spot to back Ayuk. Just we've seen Detroit really struggle against opposing wide receiver ones. Mike Evans with a huge game. They just don't tend to double team opposing wide receivers. I think it's a great spot for Ayuk with or without Debo Samuel on the field.
Any other thoughts for you, Emery?
Yeah, when you think about this matchup too, like you think in terms of how the Lions came out and handled Kansas City in the opener. You know, Kansas City has a lot of the same properties up front. Obviously, there's one guy you got to worry about exclusively. This time he's on the edge, and that's, you know, Bosa. But for Kansas City, it was Chris Jones on the interior. And the Lions did a solid job in running the ball. But again, you know, Jonah Jackson, big piece. Not saying he's, you know, Quentin Nelson or someone like that, but he's really good. And you don't want any, you know, part of that chain link, that 5 chain link fence to be a little bit different, right? And so running the ball is going to be key. Minimizing possessions is going to be key. We know Brock Purdy will at least give you 2 that you can catch. You just have to catch them. And that's going to be key for Detroit. Also, we know Jennings is someone that tends to step up big when his number is called. He's not as physical as Debo, but he's pretty doggone physical in his own right. He's a core special teamer, so you know he's not, you know, shy of contact. So it's going to be fascinating to watch this whole thing play out. The spread, we'll talk about that in a second. So I do feel like this will be a very close game.
Any thoughts on this total, though? I mean, it's pretty high at under. 51. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning more towards the under on this one. Prop Stars, any thoughts on this total?
I like the under a bit. It's actually my anticipation play. So, yeah, I think 51 is just too high. I have it at 48 to 49. I think ultimately, you know, both of these teams, we're going to see them try to sustain drives, kind of keep the other opposing offense off of the field. So, yeah, I think the under is a really good look here.
All right. And you set me up nicely because we're going to get into our anticipation plays when we get back. So stick around. You're watching Pick Six.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, it's time again for our segment where we give you a bet you should lock in early before the line moves, get you some of that closing line value. We'll do you one better and try to predict where this line is going. It's time now for our anticipation plays. This anticipation play segment is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. All right, Emery, you want to dig in on the 49ers. Where do you see this line moving?
Right now, well, pre-show was 6.5, so it's already jumped up to 7. So I'll adjust my line from 6.5 to 5 to 7 to 5.5.
Yeah.
I think we'll see this line drop if news comes out that Debo Samuel won't play. And when more people start to dive into how good the Lions team is on both sides of the ball, both sides of the line of scrimmage, both sides within the front seven, and I'm talking about defense front seven and offense with their backfield and quarterback off play action. So there's talent here. Obviously, they wouldn't be in the NFC title game. I think this one will get close to 5.5 or be at 5.5 by the time we kick things off.
Prop Stars, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I like Emery's play a lot. But, yeah, I'm going to attack the total in this game, as we mentioned on the previous segment, at 51. I think this ultimately closes at 50, potentially even under that. I have the game at 48.5 to 49. So, yeah, I just think both these offenses are going to run the football quite a bit, have long, sustained drives, potentially hold teams to field goals here. 51 is just a high total between these teams, especially if Debo's out of this game. So, yeah, I think under on this big, big total.
Well, I had one for the 49ers and Lions, too. I said that 9 or 6.5 was going to go to 7, but since that's already happened, Harry, I'm going to switch it up, and let's look at the AFC. I'm going to say that this line goes down to Baltimore -3. Now, it's not because I don't think that Baltimore shouldn't be a higher favorite. I just think the narrative of Kansas City and how people love to bet Kansas City, pound Kansas City, that this line is going to go down to 3. So I'll say this line goes from Ravens -3.5 to Ravens -3. Oh, no, two. Sorry, Kansas. I'm going the wrong way. Kansas City +3. Right? Is that right? Am I losing my mind here? I think the line is going to move towards Kansas City.
That's right, Katie.
Okay, thank you. Losing my mind. All right. So this anticipations play segment has been brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. Anything else that you guys want to touch on for championship weekend? Obviously, we're going to have our Thursday show that has all the real bets.
I'll be interested to see what how to, as the week goes on, you know, which matchups people want to see, because we kind of saw potentially the Ravens versus the two NFC teams already.
Yeah.
And we saw what that looked like versus the Lions. So, like, do people want to see that again? Do they think anything will change? And what changes in San Francisco's side? And does do people want to see Kansas City out there against either one of these two teams? We saw them against the Lions, you know, so which it'll be fascinating to see which side the public falls on in terms of what they want to see.
The public loves the Lions and the Ravens, probably. Although that can't counteract what I just said. I think the public actually loves to back the Chiefs. And the 49ers do have like quite a large fan base. But I think almost all of the NFL world is loving the Lions.
I would add, unrelated, all due respect to Dan Campbell and Ben Johnson, two very good coaches and coordinator. They need to give Jahmyr Gibbs more touches. It is clear to me that he is – David Montgomery is a very good veteran running back, but Jahmyr Gibbs over the second half of the season, and especially in the playoffs, has proven that he needs more touches in this offense. If that has to come at the expense of David Montgomery, so be it. He is the more explosive option, offers a three-down skill set, contributes a lot more in the short area passing game, but he just needs more touches. So that is something I'm looking to see if that ends up coming to fruition against San Francisco. In my opinion, he should be out-touching David Montgomery with how well he's performing and what he adds to that Detroit offense.
All right. Make sure you join us all week for more NFL coverage. Tomorrow, Brinson Breech and Wilson are joined by Pete Prisco to make bold predictions for the NFL postseason. I guess that would be championship Sunday coming up. One last reminder, show us some love, like, or comment. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. If you're listening to audio, do the same, and we will see you next time. Happy championship weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.